This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 208. It's the Sony-pocalypse.
Dun, dun, dun!
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best,
so gaming, tech, gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Hi, folks. How you doing?
I'm okay.
You all right?
Yeah.
What about you, internet people? Are you doing well? Are you ready to kick this pig? Well, you really shouldn't kick pigs. That's not nice. That's mean.
Nope, you should fry them in a pan and eat them.
Yes, you should actually slow roast them. Make carnitas. Yummy pork. We're not Muslim. Anyway, other things that you should be checking out that are not necessarily slow roasted, but are just as succulent as the things that we put up on our website, which is www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you a long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you need to subscribe, like, right now.
Absolutely, because that is the best way to make sure that you are getting the freshness at its optimal awesomeness, which is the moment it's available. So make sure that you go into iTunes and look for Electric Sisterhood, and hit that subscribe button. New episodes every single Monday, in your box, ready for your listening pleasure.
If you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But you should also be looking out for some great shows that are coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. We're not the only show that exists in the land of Esh. No, 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 no. So after you get that new episode of our podcast on Mondays and listen to it, on Tuesday, we hit you with a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which just happens to be co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. So right there, Monday and Tuesday, we got your nerd covered. But we don't stop at Tuesday. Oh, no. Wednesday, bam, brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which just happens to be co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right to hump day, again, your nerd. Oh, it is so satiated. But getting you through the rest of the week, there's all the stuff that we write on all of our respective websites, which you can check out by visiting landofesh.com. So make sure you check those all out, visit all of our respective websites, follow us on Twitter, interact with us on the Facebook group. You can also check out the things that we're putting up on YouTube, check out pictures from events that we've gone to on Flickr, and so much more. We're all over the internet, up in your grills. We're in your grills. Just like this, in your face.
All right, back up, back up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to invade your personal space like that.
Man.
But I'm totally in your head right now, and I know what you're thinking. You're a perv.
Hey! You won't go on that side of my brain.
Sorry. Well, I thought that I was heading down the side that was really artistic. It
starts out very artistic, but then it turns into...
Yeah, I know. So I'm going to take a step back now. Just make sure that you're checking all that stuff out. And that you check out our magazine. Because it's live and it's on sale right now. For a simple investment of $5.99, you get an awesome issue of the Electric Sisterhood magazine that has a lot of great stuff in it. There's, right now, the feature that I wrote, which I'm pretty proud of, on Final Fantasy XIV Online, with some great art from the game, by the way. There's also some things on 3D.GameHero. There's your piece on Naughty Bear, which I still think is smoking hot, as well as a few other surprises, like a couple of fiction pieces. So it's not just nerds.
Just kidding.
You know, so there's lots of awesomeness that's in the magazine. It's not just gaming, but it's got gaming in it. There's anime in it. Hell, I think there's even, maybe one or two gadget things in it. So just make sure that you check it out, because it's pretty damn awesome. It's pretty damn awesome.
Please.
So make sure. Just stop by, visit either landofesh.com or visit the electricsisterhood.com website. You can't miss the links to the magazine. And if you want to be super awesome, subscribe. Not only do you get a bunch of issues of the magazine, you'll also get them in PDF form, so you can take it on your mobile wherever you like. Yeah, that's what's up. Make that happen. Mm-hmm, yeah. Don't wait, don't sleep on it. Because come holiday time, you'll be the only one of your friends be like, I don't understand why I don't have this awesome magazine. And be like, because you weren't awesome enough to get in on the subscription. That's why. That's what's up. So don't make that mistake. Don't be a punk ass bitch. Get a magazine.
Stop taking my lines, dude.
Well, you haven't used it in a while, so I figured if you're not going to use it, I'm going to bring it back out of retirement.
It was on vacation. It wasn't on vacation.
Taglines, catchphrases and taglines don't take hiatuses.
Yes, well, mine does. It's like Oprah.
Oprah do be taking some hiatuses, though.
Yeah, so did my line.
But let's face it, if you're Oprah, wouldn't you take a hiatus, too?
I would, yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's got to be hard being Oprah all the time.
I know.
You know what's not hard being, though? Me.
I was about to say, I'm like,
You're like, I don't, where could I go with this? So many places. That's enough tangents. Let's get into the stuff that's really enjoyable about our podcast, which is the video games, tech gadget, and anime stuff. Because we got a lot to talk about, and we probably won't get to all of it. So some of it's definitely going to end up in a clip show.
Okay, well, then
probably going to end up in like 3 clip shows.
Not 3.
It could. It actually really could. So let's start off with a biggie. Sony. I'm looking at you, Sony. You guys. Like, seriously. Seriously. I'm still sick, by the way, if you can't tell.
No, really? I wouldn't have guessed.
Seriously. Seriously, Sony. Yeah, the sicker I get, the more that I sound like I'm either from, like, New York or Boston, Jersey?
There's no Boston, Jersey.
There is. There's like between the corridor between Boston and Jersey, like not even going to Connecticut, there's a definite different sound that you get that gets more profound as you get closer to Jersey.
The sound of people being mugged?
I guess. I'm just saying, it's not the sound of being mugged. I mean that happens more often. I'm just talking about generally in talking.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, Sony's got some woes. They're not big ones, though. I hope it's a solvable problem.
They need to stop it, and they need to stop it soon.
That they can fix.
The Sony demic is hurting people. And pissing them off.
With a 3. That's my favorite.
A Sonyopolypse.
Don't try that. That's just hurting.
A Sonypocalypse.
All right. The Snockalypse. I mean, that's about as close as I get.
Sonypocalypse. I really wish we had a soundboard, because that would be like a great place for a dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, we're not investing in a soundboard yet.
Oh.
Hey, we need to make money first. We'll talk soundboard later. Anyway, the deal is Sony released a firmware update earlier this week, version 3.41 of the firmware. And unfortunately, some people have been having problems with it. Some, meaning not everyone, it's not something that's affecting like, you know, 80% of the user base, so it's not an epidemic. I don't want to make it sound like an epidemic.
Hide your PS3s!
But there's definitely more than 5
people. Shield their eyes!
Gird your loins! But basically, the firmware was supposed to add the, you know, if you bought something in the store, it would add a, oh, you got this, then you'll probably like, or you might like, type feature where it would pull other things that are similar to the content that you just purchased or downloaded. And it did, but for some people, they're having some issues with the firmware as far as doing little things like making it more difficult to update or get content out of the PSN network. Some people have reported that they've had to, even though they started and selected something to download, it would not actually complete the download process and they would get an error. But if they went into their purchase history and went to the download manager, they were able to start the download from there and it would download just fine. To other people having issues actually getting discs to read, both game discs as well as Blu-ray discs to read. To other people having issues getting the hard drive to be recognized, so in effect, bricking their boxes.
Oh, no!
Right now, it's unclear as to how or why this is happening. Sony has issued a statement saying that they're sure that it's not the firmware, but are recommending that people download a previous version of the firmware to thumb drive and install that, and then try to install the 3.41 firmware from a thumb drive again. And I don't know if that's working or not. So if you've had any issues with your PS3 after doing this update, drop us a line, questions@esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi. We'd love to hear about it, and we'd love to talk to you about your situation and see what's going on. And hopefully Sony will have a fix for it. But it just really kind of makes me really nervous, because some people are like, this is a step with Sony going through and trying to make it so that you can't upgrade your hard drive by yourself. Because right now it's pretty straightforward on upgrading your hard drive. It's not actually a very difficult process. And I don't think that this issue is that. One of the things that has come to light that is in the firmware, they've added support for incremental firmware updates. And that's where a lot of people believe the problem is. And that's why there's not one consistent error across systems. Some people say it happens if you try to apply the firmware update and then upgrade a hard drive, as opposed to having a hard drive that's already been upgraded with firmware a couple of times. But because it's really unknown exactly what's causing these issues on a variety of different machines, it's not just affecting slims, it's not just affecting fatties, but yeah. Hey, that's the best way.
It's an equal opportunity issue.
Yeah, and it's unique, it seems, for different users. So I'm going to stay away from doing the update. I mean, even though it's mandatory to get into the PlayStation Store that you do it, there's really not a hell of a lot going on in the PlayStation Network store right now.
That makes me want to go there.
Yeah. But what's interesting is I saw one commenter actually bring up in a post, I believe it was either on the Engadget site or it was on Slashdot, because, you know, I do research.
It doesn't sound really? Like,
but I do. Yeah, I read stuff on the internet.
I know, she too.
And then I have thoughts about what I just read.
Oh my god.
Sometimes I even write down those thoughts in a notebook. Yeah.
Whoa.
But one of the commenters brought up, you know, the whole PlayStation Plus thing. You know, if these are mandatory firmware updates, and it's a firmware update that could, in essence, hose your machine, and PlayStation Plus automatically downloads those, you know, could PlayStation Plus potentially brick your system without your consent? And it was a good question, because it really made me think about it. But with PlayStation Plus, you, even though the firmware updates get downloaded, you still have to go in and actively start the process and okay it and agree to the licensing. So it won't automatically brick your machine, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I know.
Because I would really be pissed if I paid for PlayStation Plus to brick my console.
Yeah, no, I don't want to pay for destruction. Thank you.
I mean, I don't mind paying for destruction, but I want to know and be present for the destruction so I feel like I get my money's worth. So, yeah, that's kind of a biggie. Like I said, I'd like to hear if you guys have any issues with your PS3s and doing these updates and what has worked or what hasn't worked. So make sure that you holler at us, questions@esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. We'd love to hear from you. So that's one of my things, which I thought, you know, it would be nice. Start off with a little Sony stuff, because we don't often talk Sony.
No, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad though. We don't talk a lot about positive things in terms of Sony.
Well,
it's always something bad.
Well, we've had a couple of positive things. Okay, God of War.
Yeah.
All of those across the board.
Red Dead Redemption.
Okay, Red Dead Redemption. Although God of War is a Sony only thing, Red Dead is on everything.
I know, but it was still very good. The experience was good on the PS3 since I don't have it on there.
Hey, Uncharted.
True.
All right.
And Souls.
You know, love, love, have love for that.
Yeah, but then there's been, like, Wet.
Yeah, but Wet wasn't a Sony-only thing, so we can't on Sony. Good okay. Point. All right.
All right, so there have been some silver linings.
There have been. I mean, we've got high hopes for MOVE.
I hope I can hold on to that.
I have hope. I have hope.
You know what? You know who else has hope? Pandora's Box. Just saying.
It had hope.
No, that's what was still left in the not in the game. I'm actually talking actual mythology.
It's in the actual mythology.
That's the only thing that didn't get out.
Right.
So we all don't have hope.
Oh my god! Woo! You got some hope in the box, girl. All right.
Her box. Oh.
Step one.
Never mind. Anyway.
All right. Let me tame myself. Anyway, it's not all bad news all the time with Sony. Okay? It's still the better Blu-ray player that's out there.
Well, that's because the other boxes don't do it.
Well, not even console-wise, just Blu-ray player, period.
Yeah.
It's one of the better ones out there. Interface needs a little help, but it's still one of the better ones out there.
Agreed.
Especially if you're a gamer. You know, so, I mean, all things considered, we've generally been fairly positive about Sony.
I know some people have been having issues with their boxes overheating.
Well, some of those issues are user caused. Okay, if you upgrade your hard drive, you absolutely want to put in a 5400 RPM drive, or it will overheat. The system was not designed to handle anything that spins faster. So people who are wanting to, you know, have super sweet load times and things like MAG, who've gone out and gotten drives that spin at 7200 RPM, yeah, your box is going to overheat. It wasn't designed to handle a drive that'll do that. So that's your own fault. That's not Sony's fault.
Okay.
You know, just like people that put terabyte drives in their PS3s. Okay? I get wanting to have the storage, but the system really wasn't designed to handle a terabyte drive. So you may not be having issues right now, but eventually having to search that kind of disk, you may end up having some overheat issues. So those ones are issues, are problems that you can't really pin on Sony. That's user error due to modification outside of the system specs. Okay, and Sony is very specific on their website. When you go through, if you do the research on how to actually upgrade your hard drive, they tell you specifically what specs the drive needs to fall in. So if you go outside of that, that's really, you know, your own deal. Okay? That'd be like looking at the recommended system specs for a game on the PC and being like, yeah, but I still bet that my Intel 2 could run it. It might. But it's going to be a horrible frame rate. It's going to suck. And then you can say to be like, this game sucks.
It's not the game. It's you.
Yeah. So, you know, for those people that are having legitimate heat issues on systems that are, you know, direct from manufacturer, those are ones that really need to be looked into and modified. But for those people who've, you know, modified their system, I don't feel bad. So anyway, that's one thing. I got a gadget thing too.
All right then.
So, we all know I like stuff from Apple.
No, really?
Yeah, I do.
Are there any gadgets that you don't like? I mean, you like that aren't from Apple?
Gadgets that I like that aren't from Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Like what?
I like my DS.
Name for you right now.
Okay. I like my DS. My Nintendo DSi. I like my Nikon camera. That's a gadget. Apple doesn't make that. And I like my okay, does it have to... I gotta ask this. Does it have to not have anything to do with Apple, or does it just have to not be made by Apple?
It has to have nothing to do with Apple.
Okay. So then I also like my Samsung 19-inch SyncMaster monitor.
Okay, that's three. You're done.
Thank you. It's gonna be
weird. Saw you sweating on that third one, Ninja.
Well, I was also gonna, you know, try to be like, okay, well, do video game peripherals count? Because then I've got my Ion Drum Rocker kit, you know, all my peripherals for my Rock Band games. Anyway, I'm getting off track here.
We often do.
But Amazon this week came out and announced a new Kindle. And you're going to say, Kindle? Ninja, why you talk about Kindles?
Well, yeah, Ninja, why you talk about Kindles?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Here's why I'm going to talk about Kindles. It's a 6-inch Kindle.
Stop it.
It comes in white or graphite. Okay, so it's trying to be cooler because it comes in colors. Okay, but the price point's interesting to me. In the new Kindles, they offer both a 3G Kindle and a Wi-Fi Kindle. The Wi-Fi only one is going to be $139, and it will start shipping August 27th. The 3G one has 3G and Wi-Fi in it, and it's going to be $189. I believe that they hope that that one will start shipping actually on the 7th of August. But what was interesting to me was that they would make these Kindles, and it seems to me that they're still not really aggressive about really being the ebook reader, because it's still using e-ink, so you're still dealing with monochrome, you know, grayscale minus some imagery.
That's lame. I want cursive in my books, bitches. Cursive.
Well, it's not even about cursive as much as I enjoy color in my books. Even if there's not a lot of imagery, I still like, you know, very lifelike colors.
I like books that are all pictures with some words.
You know, and Sony, with their ebook reader, still pretty much is going for the quality piece, which the Sony e-reader does feel more solid in your hand, at least to me, than a Kindle does. The same way with the Barnes & Noble Nook, okay? Like, out of all of them, I really enjoyed the feel and the navigation in the Sony e-reader than the Nook or the Kindle. But I just don't see, really, there being this drive for monochrome book readers. You know, especially when you have to compete now with book readers in the Android market, you've got to create, you know, compete with book readers in the Apple store, in the apps store, in iTunes. You know, there are just so many venues you now have to compete with that are both, you know, the provider as well as device. That I'm not convinced that, you know, even at the $139 price point, which in all honesty I think is the price point that should have been for the Kindle to begin with, I'm just not convinced that that's the better book reader. And that's a chunk of change, you know? Now, they did add what I thought was interesting was a WebKit-based internet browser. So it just seemed to me like they were trying to create a device that, you know, would browse the web and be a book reader and maybe something else that's just going to get killed by everything else that's out there. Like, I don't, and I'm a gadget person, I'm not interested in buying a Kindle. I have the Kindle app on my iPad, and I
enjoy. There's no point.
I don't get, or I don't understand their logic of who this device is for. Because it's not even, like, for our mom. It has way too many buttons.
I don't know. Ash's mom seems to be really good with her iPhone. She's like, she got more apps and shit than me.
Ash's mom is like, whoa, on her iPhone.
She is. Well, not right now, because it's kind of fucked up. Yeah. But that'll get fixed.
Yes. But she is kind of like, whoa. Like, even I was surprised at how quickly she gravitated and jumped all over that.
Yeah, she's still pissed about her emoticon. She's like, my emotes are gone. I'm like, good. Kind of glad that I'm not getting big smiley faces and flaming shits at my job.
Hi, flaming poo. What? What?
Give me some ciggies, Mandy. Big heart face, smiley face. I'm like,
So I don't know who they think is their market and that market's actually there. But it'll be interesting to see who picks up and how well the newer, smaller, and definitely smaller price-pointed Kindle does. Supposedly it gets better battery life. You know, supposedly it could hold more books. So I'm just curious. If you think you're going to pick one up, drop us a line. If you don't agree, drop us a line. You know, we'll probably talk about it on the podcast. We do that sometimes.
See, what I just don't get is, I mean, most people who have a Kindle love their Kindle and probably wouldn't trade in there. You know, like, people who have Kindles seem to stick with whatever Kindle they have. Like, I have one friend who's had her Kindle since the start. And even with all the, you know, the different ones that are out there now, she hasn't moved from her original.
Right, so because if you like what it does, I mean, I don't see what added benefit any of the other ones would have above what you have.
So, I mean, I don't see a lot of people clamoring for a new one when the one they have does what it wants, what they want it to do.
Well, I think, like, if a new one came out and had color, that you would have a bunch of people gravitating from the ones that they have.
Yeah, but this one you said it...
No, it's still e-ink, so it's still monochrome.
So, I guess we'll find out, you know, how many people flock to that new one. I don't see it. I don't like Kindle. I don't even like the name. Something about the name I don't like. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get that. And I don't read often enough to invest in it.
But well, I mean, thank you for being honest, because there's some people like, yeah, I just don't like it because the form factor is this. I'm like, no, you don't like it because you don't read, motherfucker.
No, I don't have enough time to sit down with an actual book. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I have a whole bunch of books in my wall, because I have like one of those bookshelves built into my wall.
I'm familiar with that bookshelf.
And I, yeah, well, of course you do, because this used to be your room. But I have a whole section full of books, and every once in a while, you know, I will take one out and I might read a short story, but I don't have enough time to sit and read like a whole novel. And granted, you know, I do plan to get an iPad later, and I know I can read books on an iPad.
Yep.
So there, my problem solved.
Not only can you read books on the iPad or on an iPhone, but with the iBook store, you can also read PDFs. So you now really have one-stop shopping, and you can do some PDF reading with the Acrobat Reader. I know on the Sony Reader, I'm not sure about the Kindle, but I'd be really surprised if you couldn't read PDFs on the Kindle. But, you know, again, it's the difference between, you know, looking at something monochrome versus looking at something color.
I like looking at things that are colored. Oh, sorry.
You're so bad. If you read manga, most of the manga is not covered. So.
I know. That's all right, because then I take color pencils and I color them. So it's got two purposes, bitches.
My manga, it's a story, and it's a coloring book, both at the same time.
Oh my god, I've done that in my earlier ones. I don't do them anymore, but I used to.
That is so bad.
The color!
You're so wrong. Alright, so that's the basic big stuff that I have. What do you have for the people? Because I know you had a bunch of little things that you wanted to kind of bring together. I think I had something else. Oh, I did have something else.
Alright, go ahead. Okay.
Before I forget, because this was kind of important. So YouTube this week upped the limit for a length of clip and or show that you can
watch
if you're not a premium content provider, meaning, you know, NBC or Universal.
Right. And like now we can have
15 minutes.
Woohoo!
Which most people are like, okay, so you have 15 minutes on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. All right, no big deal. But it is a big deal, especially if you are the type of person that, oh, I don't know, likes to watch animes through YouTube that may or may not be available through other venues.
Oh, my God. Instead of having to watch, like, four different clips. I know. Now I can only have to watch two.
Yay. This is big deals.
Awesome.
Woo! So thank you, YouTube, for sucking even less. And then the only other thing that I have is just a reminder that, you know, QuakeCon, it is around the corner. We're not going, mostly for two reasons. One, Dallas is freaking hot in August. And I would melt. Yeah. Totally melt.
Why would you melt?
I'm the type of chocolate that does, in fact, melt in your hands.
Oh.
Yeah, I went there. That's what's up. No, Dallas in August? Dallas, Texas in August? Oh, my God. Are you shitting me? Hot.
Hell, I went to Dallas after the New Year, and it was still fucking hot.
Exactly. So, but QuakeCon is going down. August 12th to 15th. Bethesda's going to be out in force. So... If you haven't had a chance to see Rage, they have a presentation they're going to do. So if you're in the Dallas area during that time, make sure you check out Bethesda's website, check out QuakeCon's website, head down to the hotel and catch a little peek. Get you a little peeky before it pops out. And I would recommend that you also go to their Art of the Game panel, which they're doing at QuakeCon. It'll be really cool. They, you know, a couple of people from id Software are going to be there, and it'll just be cool because they do some cool stuff. So those are my other two little tiny things. What do you have? I'll show you.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Number one, Alan Wake, the Signal downloadable content.
Ooh, DLC talk.
Yep. It came out on Tuesday. I got it on Tuesday, beat it on Tuesday. Before work. If you are a person who originally got the, you know, a pre-ordered or even a brand new game, not like a used one, like you went to GameStop and just got a trade-in, you should have gotten a downloadable code, which now works, apparently. I was kind of a dumbass because I knew one of them was with the free code, but one of them you'd have to pay for. I didn't know which one they were going to release first, and before reading the little side-scrolling thing, I went and bought the Signal with Microsoft points as opposed to using the code that I have in my box. So if there's anybody out there who got a used version who does not have the Signal downloadable content and wants a code for it, email me. Because I got one. I ain't using it. I already bought it.
I don't know. Give it away to somebody through Twitter.
Oh my God, yes. I will do that. Why not? Anyway. Without spoiling much of anything, because I'm trying very hard not to be a very strong spoiler-licious.
Spoiler-licious.
If you haven't had a chance to play the game and beat it, then don't listen to me right now. And those of you who have, you probably already played the Signal, so I'm not telling you stuff that you don't already know. First and foremost, the way that the game ends with all those smileys and sunshines and rainbows and unicorns actually has nothing to do with the unicorns at all. Poor Alan Wake is still very much insane. The man is batshit crazy.
Oh, that's a shame.
And the story has taken a very dramatic turn. Granted, the whole fucking story was dramatic because it was, you know, directed and framed in that way. But, I mean, it really went from, okay, this stuff's really weird to, holy shit, this man is insane. And there were a couple of times just with, you know, the little vignettes of Wake himself speaking gave me a chill. And I was like, whoa, that is, like, fucked up. I don't know if I want to listen to that. Meh. Anyway, so, I'm not going to disclose too much here.
Just disclose it, because I haven't even played the game, so you might as well just go ahead and do it.
Okay, so at the very end of Alan Wake, He overcomes the dark presence. He's able to save Alice, but he himself is still trapped in the darkness.
Uh-huh.
You know, so he's kind of like, fuck. I'm stuck. And he's got no way out. And he's trying to figure his way out. And I don't know if you saw any of the, you know, clips or anything, you know, Ninja or not, but there's this other entity called Tom Zane. He also was a writer who went to the same cabin that Alan did, who also kind of went batshit crazy, and then he disappeared.
Uh-huh. Well,
apparently he's, like, represented by the scuba suit with this, you know, think like a Big Daddy scuba head with the great thing.
Uh-huh.
He's like an old-fashioned scuba suit. And he's just like, I will give you a signal to help you get out of the darkness, because you keep going further into the darkness. And Alan Wake gets kind of retransported back to Bright Falls from the beginning of the game. But everything's kind of off. like, it seems like he's in a memory, like things echo and people are like hollow. So he's not there, but he's there. It's really kind of awkward. And, you know, he's trying to get out of this darkness and Thomas Zane's trying to lead him. And the dark presence is fucking up with the signal. And you think the signal's one thing, but the signal happens to be a totally other thing. You know, and by the end of this, I'd want to say it probably took me about 40 minutes to go through the whole, you know, download the content. You know, you're just like, shit, I still don't know if he's going to, I don't feel he's going to make it. Like, I really don't. Like, and at first, when I was first talking about Alan Wake, I wasn't too sold on the game. I know I had a lot of reservations about, you know, the animation. I mean, the story itself I thought was very good, but there were a lot of things that were up in the air that I think they could have explained a lot better. And I mean, it makes more sense to me now if the man is descending into madness, why things don't make sense now. Like, it makes more sense now with the downloadable content as opposed to
the just the main game itself.
Yeah. So, I mean, and at the very end of it, you know, Alan Wake snaps out of this rehashing of the first part of the game, only to wake up back in the cabin when it was like a mental facility for famous people who've lost their talent.
Okay.
And yeah, well, you have to play the game to understand what I'm talking about. And there's a doctor in the game, Doctor, I think it's like Hammond or Harold or something. He's kind of a cocky asshole, and you're kind of like, hey, go jack off, man. I don't like you, man.
Is that how you like, really?
More or less, I was just like, I don't like this guy. And neither does Alan. But, and he's kind of like, I know everything. I can cure anyone. You know, he's overly arrogant. You know, and he actually kind of was, what was he doing? He was doing something with the stars at this facility. And he's all faded. Like, he's all faded out. So you know that he's still not out of the darkness.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like reliving, you know, it's weird. He's like reliving parts of the story, which I think the second downloadable content will go through will be him busting out of that facility again, because you do it once in the first game. And, I mean, obviously there's going to be a brand new take, and maybe we'll see Alan slowly breaking out of this, you know, descent into madness, or we might even see him go further. And I actually kind of think he'll probably go further. I really don't think he'll snap out of it.
Well, there'd be no reason to do an additional Alan Wake game if he doesn't go deeper into the madness.
Well, yeah. Well, see, that's the thing.
Dude, like, let the guy come out of the madness just to drive him back into different madness in another game? That would just be cruel.
That happens all the time, dude. Oh, man, we thought we got the zombies out of America.
What? Well, no, now you gotta go to Africa. Different. Wait. Going after zombies, because new things can create new zombies. Okay, but as far as going crazy in your head... Okay, to fight through some of the games that we played and go sane again, just to, in the next game, be driven insane again, that's just mean. Okay, I don't have a problem with, all right, so I killed all the zombies, but then a new bad guy comes up and comes up with a new plan for making new zombies that'll take over the world in a new way. Like, I don't have a problem doing that as a sequel. That's not mean. That's just another asshole that I just gotta take out. That's fine. Okay. But if I have to fight to get my sanity back, you know, I think it's one of my main things that I just don't like about Silent Hill games. Like, you fight all this time. You get either out of this town that's filled with all this crazy shit.
I think the town is your subconscious, but that's just me.
Okay, well, it could be, at which point that it's really just mean. You know, you go through all this stuff of, hey, this person went missing and now I gotta find them. You go through all the thing to find them and they're either dead or they're not really there or you're not really there or whatever. And it's all Umbrella's fault. You know, it's just...
Umbrella has nothing to do with Silent Hill.
I bet you it does. Like, in some universe, it's actually Umbrella's fault. They made some drug that somehow got to you. It's a big conspiracy. But anyway, you go through all of this stuff, and you finally get to the end of the game, and you never really get a happy ending.
I know, it's true.
Just to be driven in the next game to an even crazier thing where you find out yet again somebody you love is missing that you thought was dead, and then you get a letter.
Well, you know what? In the Silent Hill universe, Here's the solution to that. Don't love anybody. Don't care about anybody. Because the minute you do, they go missing. and you have to go through hell and back to get nothing. Stop the love in Silent Hill. Stop it! Actually, don't, because that keeps giving us more games. But keep but doing
what I'm
it.
I'm saying, it's just, it's mean. Don't, it's mean to just drive him insane again. I think that's one of the reasons why we had the reaction that we did to Heavy Rain. Because it was just mean, man.
I loved Heavy Rain.
I loved Heavy Rain, but I was so mad that somebody took his other kid. Like, we just went through all that shit with my kid and the car. Now you're going to take my other kid? What's wrong with you?
Well,
and then
to be Ethan.
And then it was, shit, did I take my other kid?
Yeah, and we know he didn't, but still.
And that was fucked up, because for a while there, you're like, shit.
Did I do
it? I might have done it.
Yeah, I know. I loved that. What are you talking about?
I know, but it was mean, man.
Anyway.
All I'm saying is it was mean.
Anyway.
You don't have to be mean to be good.
I mean, I have my own theories about Alan Wake. Because a lot of people are like, well, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. Well, no shit. There's a lot of things we don't understand.
Well, what are some of your theories?
Well, I actually believe Alan Wake is not real. I believe Alan Wake is a character written by Thomas Zane, which is why Thomas Zane has such a, like, he's kind of like a narrator and, like, a clairvoyant for Wake.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like, I can help you get out of here. And I'm like, well, of course you would, omnipotent orator. You know, narrator.
Also known as God.
It's like, you know, I do. I really think that Alan Wake is actually a product of Thomas Zane. But I mean,
interesting.
I do, and it's really weird because in the game, you see the first time Alan Wake goes to this cabin that, you know, happens to be like the seventh layer of hell, there are books by Thomas Zane on the desk. You know, granted, you can't open them and read them, but, I mean, that, you know, he leaves all these pages for, you know, Alan Wake to read, which tells him what's going to happen to him. You know, oh, pick up a page. I'm going to get attacked. Really? Really, game? Because I thought we were done. But I mean, still, you know, and at the very, you know, at the very end of the game, I mean, you didn't play it, so you don't know.
Go ahead and tell me. I have no intention of playing it.
There's this clicker. You know, like that old heating pad that Eshmom had that had that clicker that let it go from really cold to really hot?
Yes.
It was like one of those, but it was meant for like a light switch.
Okay.
And his father, Alan Wake's father, gave Alan this because when Alan was a little kid, he was afraid of the dark. And he did, and his father had told him, oh, I think it was his father or his mother, one of his parents gave him this clicker and told him that as long as he had that, light could always find him. He had given it to Alice, his wife, you know, who then all of a sudden gets abducted into the darkness. But that's
uh-huh. Silent Hill, achoo-achoo, yeah.
Yeah, so, and at the very end of the game, he has to use the clicker against the dark presence. And I'm like, how would Thomas Zane, who in the actual gameplay, apparently went to this cabin way, like, in the 70s, you know.
Uh-huh.
How would someone from the 70s know about Alan Wake's life, you know, his intimate life with his parents, to write this clicker into existence, into this game? It doesn't make sense to me that someone who was before Alan's time would know of Alan's time and be able to write about it. It makes no sense. So I actually feel like Tom Zane is actually the writer of Alan Wake.
What if Tom Zane is actually Alan Wake's daddy?
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't think about that.
I'm just throwing that in there. Just because somebody's last name is Wake doesn't mean that that's what their daddy was named.
That's true. Well, yeah, that's true. I actually think that Wake's like his handle, his writing handle.
Yep.
But still. So, I mean, I've got my own, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. interpretations on how that's all going to play out. So, I mean, I would be surprised if by the very end of Alan Wake's game, yeah, he'll come to the realization that Thomas Zane was his dad. He's pissed off at his dad. That's why he hates the dark, because his dad left on a dark night.
Yep.
Blah, 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 blah. And that's why all these
daddy issues.
Or his dad was, like, murdered in night. So now Alan Wake thinks that all these demonic things happen at night, which is why he emphasizes on dark. I mean, I could go on for days, but I won't. Contact was really good. The cliffhanger
thing.
Yeah, it was kind of, because like I said, at the very end when he wakes up from that retelling of what happened, he wakes up in the facility, which is something you do in the game already. So uh-huh. my So I wonder what new piece of information they're going to, you know, bestow upon us in this next downloadable content. Still looking forward to it. However, like, I mean, I do like the story, and I do want to see where it goes, especially, you know, since I'd love to see them prove me wrong on some things. So, I mean, that's the first thing that I want to talk about.
So, DLC worth it?
DLC is worth it, especially because if you bought it, you got a code that made it free. Don't be like me and just quickly buy it and not punch in the code.
Punch in your codes.
Punch in your
codes. Get your freeze on.
On top of that, another small thing that I do have is I finally made my decision about Carmine. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, and you've never heard of the Gears of War franchise, you need to shoot yourself in your left foot. And then
with a Nerf gun.
Well, and eat your big toe. And eat your big toe with some wasabi sauce.
Ew, you're really dark today.
I am.
Maybe you shouldn't play Alan Wake for a while.
I know.
I'm
going insane!
Stay in the light! Stay in the light!
It's dark right now, so I should probably turn on a light. All right, then. Lights on. Anyway, so, yeah, Gears of War. Already know it's awesome. All looking forward to the third one coming out in 2011. Wish it was coming out earlier than that, but...
I'll wait. I have a choice. Cliffy B, I love you. Call me.
Yeah, so we're all waiting for that. And what they were doing is, I think in cahoots with Child's Play, yep. They decided to do this little poll thing that may or may not determine what happens to Carmine in this game. If you don't know who Carmine is, in the first game, you hear about these Carmine brothers. There's three of them. I think it's Anthony, Benjamin, and now this one, who I think is Clayton. I think so. And the first, you know, Carmine wasn't wearing his head mask and kind of got sniped in the face.
Yeah.
And died.
Yeah.
In the second game, you get to play alongside Benjamin, who's, you know, kind of scrawny. He's not nearly as big and beefy as all the other cog gears.
But I was holding out hope for Ben, because he was trying to rock along.
He was. He carried his big stick proudly.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
He
was. Yeah.
But at the very, you know, not even very, at the very end, but at one
closest
point.
Closest to the end.
No, I'd even say middle.
Well, yeah. Well, it depends on how fast you blew through the focus.
Yeah, I did. I went really fast. But anyway, so Benjamin was sad casually inside of a rock worm. Yeah. He kind of got crunched down and got some...
He died.
Stomach acid of the worm kind of ate half of his body.
Yeah.
So he dead.
He dead. He died.
So now... In 3, we actually get to see the eldest, which I think is really funny because they bring the eldest into the third game. I would have assumed that the eldest died first, but apparently not. Clayton is the eldest of the Carmine brothers, and it's up to, I shouldn't say it's really up to us, but we are going
it
to
possibly
could possibly decide if he lives or dies. I mean, his other two brothers are dead. Why does he get to live? He should die too. Make it a trilogy. Collect the set. Anyway, so...
I think we know where you stand.
No. To cast your vote, you know, on Xbox Live, you can purchase a t-shirt that either says, Save Carmine, which is black and white with white lettering, or Carmine Must Die, which is a red t-shirt with black lettering. And obviously, anything that you do, you know, the purchase of the t-shirt also goes towards Child's Play, which I think was a magnificent idea.
Yes, it's a great, great charity, and if you know, you've got the money, and you want to be able to do some good, but also be kind of nerdy, this is a great way to do both.
Yeah. So, I will tell you that I actually chose to save Carmine.
What?
I did.
Even though you just said complete the set?
I know. Because I think there should be a mystical, magical power that lets them revive. But that's just me. But that's the anime side of me. But no. I actually believe, I mean, he's the oldest brother of the three, and I feel like he should, you know, because they like to give some story to these people, and everybody in the story, outside of Baird, because they really didn't go into Baird's backstory, everyone has lost somebody significant.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, you know, Marcus, Dad.
Right.
You know, yeah. What's his name, Dominic?
Yeah, we know about Dominic.
Wife. Cole. his mind. I'm really not a big fan of Cole. I know
you don't like the Cole train.
I don't like Cole train. I don't. And but they really don't go into Baron's story. But I mean, it would make sense that one Carmine should survive and would carry that burden and that sadness the way that the rest of this COG team.
See, I was getting ready to make that argument because I knew that you were about to say that, you know, he's got to die, and I was gonna be like, no, it would
no,
be
because then who
so
would
much more like, poignant if
he lived.
If they get through all of this
and he's the only one who made it.
And he's the one that survives.
Yeah. So that's
like,
why
there should be a survivor. I think it would have been even more interesting if it had been the, you know, the middle one.
Oh my god. No, and you want to know why I don't think it should have been the middle one? Because then he would have gotten a complex. He'd be like, well, Mom, the other two are dead now, so I need to be your favorite because I'm alive. I'm sorry. But yeah, that is my opinion on that.
Well, okay.
So
really?
I chose the safe, yeah. And the baby would be like, well, you love me anyway because I'm the baby. And the oldest is going to be like, well, I'm the most resilient. You raised me right. That's why I'm alive.
Oh my god. I don't think it'd be like that. But I think that to make it more poignant, you know, because like you said, in the game, your pivotal characters have all had to suffer some major loss, that it would be more poignant for the story.
For him to survive, yeah.
For him to survive. Okay. But to make it really clear, I don't think that that's going to happen. Like, you know, the developers have pretty much said, no, Carmine must die. But it was really cool.
Maybe he'll die an old man.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to die. But
so, I mean, they didn't say he's going to die, like, in the first 2 seconds of the game. Or maybe they'll be right at the end and he'll sacrifice himself. And he'd be like, dude, you're so close. It's like, I'm going to go be with my brothers, man. See you on the other side. Something really cool, like what guy, like army guys say. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an army guy, so I wouldn't know. But I mean, they say really cool shit like that when they throw themselves, you know, into the fire. I should see what type of lines they say and start practicing some. But I honestly think they should let Carmine exist long enough to develop, you know, to develop a character for him and not just be like, oh, I'm a Carmine. And he'd be like, yeah, I already know. My other brothers are dead. It doesn't look too good. It doesn't look too good for me.
Like, that would be a horrible opening line. Yeah, I'm the last Carmine. I know I'm the last Carmine. Yeah, it doesn't really look good for me. But, you know, I'm
like
older,
If you notice, this Carmine has his headgear on. And he's bigger.
And you will also notice that my boomstick, also bigger.
Oh. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I mean, I really would like to see him make it all the way. I'd like to see him survive for the points that I've mentioned. But I think I also would really like to see him, you know, survive just because. I just think he should survive. I think they've suffered enough loss in the Carmine family. I'm assuming their father's dead. And who knows? After all this, the mom could be dead. So he could be like the last
Carmine.
And then he has to start repopulating the Carmines with some bitches. And that could be a totally different game. No, that's just me. If they're going to kill him, then I hope that his death is pivotal and beneficial to the story. You know, and if he survives, then I hope his survival is pivotal and beneficial to the story. Like, I don't want him to cower underneath a rock when the rest of the team, like, kills whatever the bad guy is. And he'd be like, yeah, I made it. Like, he better, you know, hunker down and ride or die. Ride or die.
He needs to be a ride or die bitch. Is that what you're saying?
He needs to be a ride or die bitch.
I think Carmine, I think they've all kind of proven that
they're a ride or die. Been die.
Mostly it's been die.
Hopefully this last one rides.
I mean, they've all ridden. It's just that up till now, they've all died as well.
Yeah, that's
they've been ride and die.
No, see, that's why the or is pivotal. But anyway, so I did do that. So I cast my vote. If you have me on Xbox Live, I think I'm wearing the shirt right now, actually. And if I'm not, I think probably the week of release, I will have that shirt on. Or there was another shirt that they had that's a black shirt that says 2011 in the red, you know, in the COG gear and the ones on it, and I probably wear either the Save Carmine shirt or that shirt the week before the release. And do it up, guys. Buy the game. You know you love it. You know I love it. And if you don't love it enough, take some of my love and go buy it anyway.
No, I think Gears is a great game. It has been a really wonderful series. You know, it's been a experience from 1 to 2 has just gotten better. And I'm really looking forward to 3. I want to see how this war ends. And I think that it'll be a hell of a ride. And I'm crazy looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm really kind of torn. Because as far as good story writing, you know, and mood setting goes, my heart says that Carmine must live. But the complete the set in me is like, no, but the bitch gotta die. Gotta die. All the other Carmines bit it. You know, they...
What is that? Why does that say anything? I mean, if that's the case, Ninja.
But it's how they did, okay? You know, you look at it, the newbie in the first game, like, he gets taken out, like, early. Okay, second game, second Carmine, a little bit better, a little bit wiser, makes it a little bit further.
Dies.
You know, you would want...
So see, if that's the case, if you're going by progression, first guy didn't make it out of the
game. The last guy should make it almost to the end, if not to the end. And then, like you said, you know, go out heroically. But go out and it be the final piece of the story. All the Carmine brothers gave their lives for whatever the resolution of the game was. In addition to what's going to happen. Because believe me, if Carmine dies, Carmine's not going to be the only character.
Oh, do you think now since this is a trilogy, they can actually go after main characters now, if we're going by the theory of horror movies?
Yeah. Which means it's very possible...
That they all die!
It's very possible... I mean, you know, here's the thing, okay? It's really clear that with Cliffy B, it's not about the traditional storytelling, okay? So who's to say that they all don't fucking die? Who's to say that we get a somewhat happy ending?
The Lambent win!
I'm not saying that the Lambent win, but it's pretty damn possible that, you know, we may come out of this thing, but it may not be all shits and giggles.
I think it's gonna be shit.
I mean, think about it. Even if we win, okay?
The world's destroyed.
The world is fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay, the last city that we had went up in the last game.
That's true. Didn't they sink Jacinto?
Yeah, we sunk it.
Yeah.
They didn't. We did. We sunk it.
Yeah, we sunk it on them.
Yeah, we did. And we didn't even get the queen.
Nope.
Okay, so we got no more cities. We got no infrastructure.
Good point. Everybody's gonna die.
Even if we win, we still gotta rebuild the entire fucking planet. Population. Yeah.
They should build
come up with money again. I mean, like, it's not a panacea. It's not like the end of, like, Civ Revolution, where everybody on the board starts dancing.
Yeah, good point.
It's not going to be like that. But I'm curious. I mean, it's been a really good ride. And, you know, I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. I wanted it this holiday season.
Oh, man, I wanted it bad.
You know, 2011, it's kind of hard.
Ooh, I don't want to think about it. It's like a bandit that you want to rip off.
But you know you can't. The scab hasn't formed yet.
Yeah, exactly. So you know if you rip it, you're going to bleed out and die.
But you still want to take it off because you're like itchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Your brain keeps telling you you're itchy.
Like, it's itchy. It's like, but your heart's like, I will die if you were. It's like, oh, but I want to.
Itchy. And I want to scratch it. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because I know that we've been playing Crackdown.
Yep, Crackdown 2.
And so now I can honestly ask you, how would you compare Gears and Crackdown? Because there are a lot of people that for a lot of time tried to compare Crackdown 1 with Gears 1 when it came out which I never felt was a fair comparison. As a person that started the Gears of War series with Gears 2 and then went back to 1 and has also started the Crackdown series with 2 without having gone back to 1 yet, what would be your comparisons? What do you think are similar, not similar, and really should these two games even be put in the same genre, category, room as each other?
All right, well, right off the bat, I don't think these two games should be compared to each other.
Okay.
At all. I mean, they both do have the elements of, you know, militia or militaristic strategy shooter. They do have that element. But I actually think, like, something like, I think Crackdown 2 should be somewhat compared to, and even loosely, I'm going to say loosely compared to something like, Borderlands, more so than Gears.
Okay.
Gears as well is well thought out. There's a great story. The mechanics work very well. You know, like, I didn't come across a lot of glitching, though I know there were a couple small glitches in Gears 2 that people used to talk about. And, I mean, I haven't beaten Crackdown 2. I'm still very, very fresh in it. I'm still very noobish.
Very noobish.
Not a lot of muscles. Don't drive very well. But that's just something that seems to go game to game. I'm not a very good driver in game, but that's okay. I mean, I don't see where people would draw a similarity between the two. Don't get me wrong. On a day that I've just had a bad day and I just want to punch some people, Crackdown would probably be the game I'd go to because it's just nonstop, repetitive violence.
Right. It's just
that's it.
Blow
that's
stuff.
All it is. Like, if I come home and I'm like, man, I want a double cheeseburger with ketchup, onions, and pickles, I'm not going to Crackdown. Crackdown is a hot dog. No bun.
Wait a minute. I wouldn't go that far.
All right, it has a bun.
All right, I would put it more like this. Like, you know, your Gears of War is your, you know,
three
double cheeseburger deluxe with fries, shake, and toy.
And a prostitute.
Possibly. Where, I mean, if that's how
and
you roll.
Crackdown. It is a happy meal with a
Crackdown is a happy meal. It's a big kid's meal.
All right, fine.
Okay, because it's not the little kid's meal, but it's a big kid's meal.
Okay,
there's a burger in there, but it doesn't.
It won't satisfy that hungry urge you have.
Right.
It'll just satiate
your snack hunger.
More or less, yes.
Okay.
Because Crackdown 2 has no story.
It did.
You told me it, and I get that. I mean, I didn't play 1, so I'm not used to just going after gang after gang after gang after gang.
That's pretty much it. The city is
infested with gangs, and you're the eradicator.
Take all the gangs, and sometimes the gangs would meet each other and have turf wars, and so you'd have to take out both gangs at the same time, so you'd literally have the gangs shooting at each other, shooting at you, and peacekeepers trying to shoot at the gangs but hitting you. And if you accidentally hit peacekeepers while you're taking out the gangs, you would somehow have scenarios where you had peacekeepers and the two rival gangs all shooting at you while you were trying to take them all out.
So
that was pretty much Crackdown 1.
Yeah.
Take out the gangs, beef up your stats. And that's fine.
And now Crackdown 2 is beef up your stats, take out the gang, don't hit peacekeepers, and oh yeah, there are freaks at night.
Exactly.
Come out at night.
And I love that they actually got the rights and have the Houdini song in there.
I haven't heard it. I didn't know.
Basically, all you need to do is, so you know how the cell guys have different vehicles?
Right.
Depending upon the vehicle of theirs that you snag, different radio stations, quote-unquote stations, play in the car.
Oh.
So as you get into different cars, you will hear different music. And you will eventually hear the freaks come out at night. Just like there's a mashup of
Under Pressure.
Bad Moon Rising.
Oh, yes, I've heard that.
Yeah. So depending upon getting into which vehicle you get into, you will hear the freaks come out at night. By Houdini.
Right then. Oh, I can't.
So
wait
Ruffian
to
Games,
that
you get a double plus up from me just for putting Houdini on your soundtrack.
So I mean, from what I played right now, and I mean, I've probably only played maybe, I'd say maybe not even 5 hours yet.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely do feel that strong sense of repetitive. No, you never get a break. There's no, like, ulterior missions. You're putting the beakers, you're getting rid of hot, you know, freak nests. You're fighting the cell so you can get to that black bitch code name kid next door number 5. And she grew up.
Summer, I love you.
She grew up. And now she's, you know, the leader of a terrorist faction. But I mean, I always felt like, oh, okay, so all day I shoot cell, and as soon as it gets dark, I fight freaks, and by the time...
Well, you don't have to go after cell all day long. You can go after agility races and car races, and then, like I did, spend all night for, like, 3 nights worth of nights building up your strength. So you don't have to go after all cell, but as far as plot moving forward, well, what little bit of plot?
What plot?
Okay, as far as advancing in the game...
I was about to say, because plot...
Do that. As far as advancing in the game, it's...
We would need a rising climax and a demonte for there to be a plot.
Okay, here's the thing. When you just need some mindless fun and you just want to blow up some stuff...
Yeah, it is not meant to be taken on a deep level. Like Limbo. Limbo has been getting such great reviews lately. It's a great indie game. I keep hearing, I haven't bought it, but I'm going to because everyone keeps talking about it, how good it is. I mean, granted, even that in its own way, I don't know what is there a story to Limbo? I mean, obviously you're in Limbo, I'm going to assume. I didn't play it. I don't know.
I haven't played it yet. I bought it.
It looks like you're in a darkened world. You're trying to find these achievement glowing egg things, and you're trying to avoid the really scary spider and the giant mosquito and the other pitfalls in the darkness, apparently. But, I mean, that sounds more like a point, you know, a plot than I'm an agent. I shoot cell and kill freaks and drive a car.
Well, I mean, you don't even
screw bitches. I haven't even seen. The only bitches I've seen are the freak bitches, and you don't have no freaks.
There's no bitches. You don't get any bitches.
You don't get any.
No.
You don't get to lay any.
Here's the thing that I love about Crackdown 2 is every time that Catalina Peterson or whatever the hell her name is, every time there's...
Codename number 5. Just call her...
No, because every time I see her name, all I think of is fucking Catalina Wine Mixer. And so I love it for nothing else that every time I see her name pop up or I hear her talk over the PA system because sometimes she's yelling, even though my brain goes, you know, kids next door, code name number 5, my brain just goes, fucking Catalina Wine Mixer. Yeah, stepbrothers.
Yeah, so I wouldn't
made that
so,
kind of impression on me.
So I wouldn't compare it to... I really wouldn't compare it to Gears of War 3. And when I say I'd loosely base it, you know, I'd compare it to Borderlands. That's because some of the animation seems to be cel-shaded, like the cars and some...
The game is definitely heavily cel.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say heavily cel like Okami, but it is cel.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, in that sense, I would, in animation style, I would...
Which definitely adds to the game. Because
yeah, don't get me wrong. I like it. I do like the animation style, but I'm just saying I wouldn't compare it. I wouldn't put it in a line to get into the room next to the room that Gears is in.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't.
All right. So then
it's still fun. I'm going to play it and get all these fucking orbs and help you get the multiplayer orbs. And hope you go into some PvP because this is the first game that I've actually seen them use the term PvP, and I kind of miss it.
Well, here's another thing that I like about Crackdown 2 is it is not cheap with the Avatar awards.
Oh, I only got the freak slippers.
I got the freak slippers. You should have when you bought the game. There's actually a tab in there that has a code for you to get a helicopter.
Airplane?
Yep.
Okay.
But there are also other Avatar achievements. So there's, like, I've gotten 2 t-shirts and a hat and the slippers.
Okay.
So, and there are a couple more in there. So, you know, it's one of the first games that I've had that actually one wasn't shy about giving you Avatar achievements. But the achievements that are in the game also feel kind of balanced. So let me ask you this. Because you're already in agreement that Gears of War 3 is going to be a buy.
Oh my god, if it was a man, I would already have bedded him and had his babies. I'd be pregnant right now with another one.
I don't even, all right, Crackdown 2. Buy, rent, wouldn't suck as a gift.
Okay, Crackdown 2. It would not suck as a gift. It would not suck as a gift.
Excellent.
Because everyone needs that game that allows them to blow off steam.
Yep.
And this game will give that...
The one that you don't have to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? If you are really upset, you can just literally get into Crackdown and just spend, you know, a half hour, hour, using the Flocket launcher and just freaking blowing up stuff.
Yeah. So, yep, that's
it
what
I'm saying. It won't hurt your progress at all.
It wouldn't suck as a gift.
Actually... To build up your thing with explosives, that would actually be a good thing to do. Get a grenade launcher and just blow some stuff up. So yeah, I'd agree. Crackdown 2 wouldn't suck, it's a gift. Absolutely not. Okay, so that means that it's time for us to talk about visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is...
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one. And you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, just subscribe.
That's right. If you want to get each and every episode of our podcast in its entirety, untampered, unfiltered, and awesome, subscribe to our feed in iTunes. Just search us out in the podcast directory. You can find us listed as Electric Sisterhood. We're awesome. Hit the subscribe button. It's free. It's free.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But please be looking out for the great shows that come out of our camp, too.
That's right. Like I said before, we're not the only thing that makes up the realm, the land of ESH. Nope, you've got other shows. So after you grab our show and subscribe, make sure that you get a hold of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast. Those episodes go out on Tuesday, and it's actually co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. They talk about video games, they talk about sports, they talk about music, they talk about movies. I don't think that there's anything that they don't talk about, really, at some point in time over there.
Girls!
Oh, yeah. Well, what are you gonna do?
I did not mean to actually come up with something valid.
Wow. Okay, moving on. So we got that show, and then on Wednesdays, boom, shaka-laka-laka, hit you with a new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So we've got shows getting you to hump day, and for the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we write on all of our websites, which you can check out by visiting landofesh.com, and you can visit all of our individual websites to get all the newness, hotness, twitterings, and all that good stuff. Or just follow us on Twitter, which you should. Make sure that you're following the official ESH Twitter account, which is ESH News. It's just at ESH News. Because we do giveaways and we do all of our announcements of cool stuff, not just on our individual accounts, but also on the main one. So if you're not following ESH News, but you're following Ninja Sister and Lady Esh, need to fix that. You need to fix that. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're everywhere. Make sure that you're interacting with us. We love hearing from you. We love talking with you because we just love games and gamers. Those that heart anime and manga.
I heart anime.
So make sure that you're interacting with us. We love it. I also am going to disclose that I own Apple stock. So I make money when you buy Apple things. And I'm okay with that. You should be okay with it, too. And buy more Apple stuff. You got any shit that you like this week, Panda?
I love Amazon.com.
You know, you keep loving Amazon. I'm going to have to start reaching out to them and see if they'll sponsor us.
Well, I do. They get my shit to me fast, and I love it. So I love Amazon. I love pepperoni pizza. I love the cure for cancer. Not that we know what that is yet, but I still love it. And bologna.
Okay.
Oh, and Inception.
Okay. All right. In that order.
All right, well, okay. Inception, Amazon pepperoni and cheese bologna.
Okay. That makes a little more sense.
Oh my god, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Inception, Amazon. Pepperoni pizza, forget bologna. Fuck bologna.
Bologna.
Oh my god.
Gets cut off the list. Alright.
Was the hottest thing in a suit in this movie. I wanted to hump the screen. Sorry.
Alright.
That's all I'm
I think we learned something about Pandalicious today. The more you know.
I can't really hump the screen. It's really big.
I'm just going to leave that alone.
Okay.
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. I, on the other hand, first one off my list is DJ Ranma S for helping us.
Oh my god, yes! Him too!
For helping us get your account all worked out with Microsoft.
I've already gave a thank you last episode, so I'm not going to go into that again. Maybe I'll make a YouTube video.
You can make a YouTube video. I'm going to say thanks again. I'm going to keep saying thanks till I decide that it's not worth saying thanks anymore. But I'm going to say thanks because that was getting on my last nerve. I also want to throw out there is shit I dig. Cheez-Its.
I dig Cheez-Its.
Okay, Cheez-Its are the shit.
They're not in my list this week, though.
Okay, but Cheez-Its made my list this week. And also, I'm going to go with, fuck it. I'm going to say it. S'mores.
Why?
Mine is mostly food and people. S'mores. I just dig them. You know, there's just something wholesome and good about s'mores. And, you can take that any way you want to. But I'm just the melting of the chocolate and the marshmallow with the cracker and it. It's warm and gooey and it gets all in the mouth.
Okay, all right. All s'mores. Right.
S'mores. That's shit I did. Yeah.
Right.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here until next time, folks.
Hand me that s'more.
You can't have my s'more.